Our sermon passage for this morning is taken from Psalm 95, verses 1 through the first part of 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together.
So we come before you now. Our Father, you are a great God. You're a God of great mercy. This is just who you are, a God of grace. And so look upon us. We come to hear you. Human words will not do. Will you send your spirit to take these words and bring them into our heart? You know each of us, where each one of us is at, so see our need, give us hunger for you, and feed us. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Well, how many times have we been asked, so what are you all about at Redeemer Ann Arbor? Or what's unique about Redeemer Ann Arbor? Well, those are two different questions. Second one first. I mean, in one sense, there is nothing unique about Redeemer vis-a-vis other churches. We're just doing church. It's not our vision. It's the Redeemer's vision that we are all about. Jesus' vision is it's Jesus' church, and Jesus sends us. He gives us his org chart, Jesus, elders, deacons. He gives us the mission, go into all the world and make disciples. He gives us the resources, his spirit, his word. He gives us the staffing and the population. He brings his children in. So we go, we just follow his plan. We put it into action in a way that fits our context, our city, our culture, our times, our opportunities, but nothing differentiates Redeemer from every other true church of Jesus. The other question, what are we all about? Well, that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. Our website has our core principles. There are six of them. They're unchanged since our inception in 2015. Hopefully we're learning and adapting as we go, seizing the opportunities that God gives us. But that's what we've been explaining these last few weeks. What are we all about at Redeemer Ann Arbor? Today we wrap it up. The final point, we are all about vibrant worship. Coming before God with all of our hearts, engaging with all of our souls, and finding our fulfillment as we give it all to him. What's worship? We come with our minds. We come with our mouths. We empty our hearts out unto God. And that's what we're going to be looking at using this first part of Psalm 95 that Susanna has read for us. Interestingly, the passage begins, "Oh, come." That sets the tone for this song of worship, Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing." And we find the same words again in verse 6. "Oh, come, let us worship." Worship is more than singing, but it's certainly not less. Listen to our text. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." the psalm comes at us not as a command, but as a come. It's an invitation. Join in our joy. There is an excitement in the togetherness of worship. And here is an invitation to join. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. But though it's an invitation, it is still an exhortation, gentle, positive, encouraging, but worship is God's will for you. And where are we invited to come? Come towards God. Verse 2, let us come into his presence. Verse 6, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come towards God. The opposite of Adam and Eve. After they sinned in the garden, the holy God approaches. They don't come to God, but they run the other way. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Having sinned, they feel defiled, they feel guilt, they feel shame, they feel fear. They run and hide from God because they do not want to come face to face with him. But this is entirely the opposite. It is an act of faith. And though I, like Adam and Eve, am sinful and guilty, I trust in Jesus, the sacrifice for sinners, the sacrifice for me, the sinner, and I come into his presence. And so, this morning, come from wherever you are right now. Do you feel far from God? Come to him. Do you feel in the valley of depression and darkness and doubt? Come from wherever you are. Do you feel alone in a crowd? Do you feel your futility and vanity? Come from wherever you are now and come into his presence. Draw near to God. Come through Jesus Christ, who alone can make us worthy. So let's zoom in to this invitation to worship more closely. 3 points. We worship together, we sing, and we worship. So first, we worship together. So Psalm 95, this psalm of worship, is not focused on the individual. It's you look in vain for the first person singular pronoun, I, me, my. The only first person singular pronouns here refer to God himself later in the psalm. This psalm is about community. It's about public worship by the people of God together. Now, you and I can and should and must worship by ourselves before God. I can worship with God's people only because I have first worshiped by myself, me, before God, the reality of me personally encountering God. But the emphasis of this psalm is not upon individual worship. It's we, us, our. Look at it. Verses 1 and 2, let us, 4 times, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence. Let us make a joyful noise to him. And they're up down to verse 6, 2 more times. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. Together we worship. God speaks, telling us to worship him together in the gathering of his people. And understand that the dynamics of worship together are not just quantitatively different from singing by myself, like there's more of us. It's not just there's more, but it's better. So how does that work? Well, like this, among others. So I'm aware that I'm not in this Christian walk alone as I gather with others who are walking with me. So when you run a race, the competition makes you run faster than if you were just running by yourself against the clock. And like that. Here we too incite each other to better performance by singing together. I hear my brother behind me sing, and it puts wind into my sail. It encourages me, and I amp up my joy and my volume and my excitement. And then my sister in front of me hears me sing, and this in turn pumps her up. And so maybe I come into church a little down, a little discouraged, blasé, blasé. But my sister is exuberantly joyful or deeply grateful, and she expresses it as she sings, and her joy in her singing is contagious, and the light begins to shine in my heart, and the music that surrounds me, that envelops me, is so much more than the music I'm making, and it enlivens me. We worship together. Haven't you experienced it? Or Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So we sing to the Lord, but simultaneously we address one another in our singing. Our singing is directed to God, but we are speaking to one another. What does all that mean? Well, I don't pretend to understand it all, but some of it we've just tried to explain. And this is, admittedly, a human phenomenon, but this singing together, this worship together, is not merely a human emotional mechanism, because God the Spirit takes the words, the music, the hearts of my brothers and sisters, and often speaks joy into my heart. A work of God. And this is the duty and the beauty of God's people worshiping together. God's at work. There I am in the midst of them, Jesus says. So we worship together. In the second place, we sing. Well, how does this psalm of worship begin? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. What's the first observable expression of worship? It's singing. We hear singing, and this is the distinctive, recognizable sign of Christian worship. On what other occasion do people unite together to sing? Go to a lecture, go to a political rally, go to a concert, people listen. At a football game, people cheer. At a parade, people watch. But in Christian worship, we sing. Let's dig deeper. Ask several questions first. Who sings? Who's singing here? Well, we do. Let us sing. It's the congregation. It's God's people. Four times in verses 1-2, let us sing. We sing. Not a choir. It doesn't say let them sing. Not a worship team, but let us sing, all of God's people. We make the joyful noise. Let us make a joyful noise. End of verse 1 and the end of verse 2. So worship, singing in this case, is what we do. It's not what we observe like in a concert. And it's not that the choirs and worship teams can't sing or sing to us. That's not the point. Don't miss the main thrust of this. The real point of the passage is that we sing, and this is the stuff of worship. Now, if we believe that, that frames how we structure things in our worship service. For example, we have a sound system, but we keep the decibel level of the sound coming at us a bit lower from overpowering our awareness of our own voices. We have to be able to hear ourselves sing if we're going to fulfill the invitations and exhortations of Psalm 95. If we're going to experience the intended blessing, we have to hear ourselves singing. Focus is the singing of God's people. So worship is not primarily about the musical, emotional experience that we have, because you can get that at the concert, but God wants us to sing to achieve this. Why? Well, at least this, singing is a human experience. It's both rational and emotional, and singing accomplishes the objective of uniting my head and my heart. It, on the one hand, it focuses my mind. When I'm singing, I have an antidote to distraction. And it fuses my mind and my emotions in this unique way and elevates them together in an inexplainable but very real interplay. So when I sing, I give to God, and I don't just receive. Hence, that's why we sing. And again, back to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be filled with this Spirit, and then this active agency on my part, addressing one another in psalms, something I do, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So addressing one another, there's human communication, cognitive, rational. I'm saying something. So that says something about the kinds of songs we sing, right? It's got to have content, not just emotion. And then also I do it with my heart. There is this emotional, spiritual aspect, not mere cognition. So who sings? We do. The congregation sings. Second question, who's the audience? For whom do we sing? Well, sing to the Lord. Sing to the rock of our salvation. Sing to him. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. We are not the primary audience. Worship is not performed for or directed to us. The singers, the musicians, the band are not principally for our benefit to sing to or to sing for us, but they are here to catalyze, to assist us in singing to the Lord. Our worship is aimed at God. He is the audience. Six times in this section of the psalm, it says, let us. And in all but one of them, God is the object or recipient of the worship verb. Listen, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence. Let us make a joyful noise to him. Let us kneel before the Lord. Worship is not just an inner state of mind consisting of our personal ecstatic emotions, but it's this activity that connects with the Lord. We don't have a complete sentence in worship without the Lord receiving our worship. He occupies my thoughts. He is the object of my heart's songs. Now, worship enriches me as I focus upon God. But to the degree I have self-focus, it distorts the whole activity. How am I feeling now? How do I appear? My singing in worship is oriented towards God, and I am fulfilled, enriched, uplifted as I give worship to God. Who sings? Who do we sing to? Third question, what is the volume level? Verses 1 and 2, twice. Let us make a joyful noise, not let us make a whisper. Let us make a speak with a reflective and quiet voice. And it's not an apathetic mouthing of the words. It's a loud expression of my heart. Even more clearly, Psalm 33, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts, or Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name. Why so loud? Because I'm so joyful. I'm so enthusiastic. I'm so pumped up by fully engaging in praise with God's people that I can't keep it in. I can't express it in a moderated tone of voice. My full-voiced singing expresses my full heart. What happens when fans gather together for a game and the excitement of the contest builds? The crowd cheers, they yell, they get loud. And similarly, when God's people gather to praise God, the reality and intensity of their joy breaks out in the loudness of their praise. Question 4, what is the dominant tone of our singing? Well, it's joyful. Verse 1, let us make a joyful noise. And similarly, in verse 2. Now, joyful and thankful, our singing will vary as our human condition vary. I mean, there is a psalm, an inspired song for every human condition. Psalm 62, for God alone my soul waits in silence. Worship in silent, patient expectation. Psalm 137, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept, worship with tears. Psalm 130, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, worship in agony of soul. So coming into God's presence with joyful singing is certainly not the only way to come. But we see joyful worship as a recurring, even a dominant theme in the Psalms, because this is the norm for congregational singing, with plenty of room for other tones and moods. Christians are characteristically joyful people. Our God gives us much to rejoice in, regardless of our circumstances. So, how should we come to worship? With joy and with thanksgiving. And the last question, why do we sing? Why be joyful? Why be thankful? Because of God. Verse 3, verse 2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Verse 3, 4, for this reason, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Everybody's got a God. Everybody's got something they worship, something they look to when they get into trouble, when they're afraid, when they're overwhelmed. Everybody has something that dominates their life. This is why I go to work in the morning. It's their gods. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's image, respect of other people. Maybe there's someone they fear. We sing because of our God. We sing for our Lord is a great God, greater. He doesn't grow old. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get outdated by trends. He doesn't disappear when I need him. He isn't ever outmaneuvered by my circumstances. For the Lord is a great king. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. Ever awestruck by the magnificence and immensity of earth, canyons, valleys, the Challenger Deep of the Mariana Trench, 36,000 feet below sea level, the depths of the earth fit into his hand. And the heights of the mountains are his also. The mountains inspire us, many paintings, photographs of mountains. The mountains challenge us. How many of you have climbed and hiked? The mountains secure us, the NORAD Madel military base inside Cheyenne Mountain and near Colorado Springs. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his. 70% of the earth's surface, powerful and untamed, womb of hurricanes and tsunamis, unexplored. Apparently only 5% of the oceans have been explored. The sea is his. He made it. He is a great God. For this reason, we sing. Well, we worship together, we sing, and finally, we worship. There's this second invitation in verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The three verbs, the three worship verbs, are very similar in their posture. Worship, bow down, kneel, get low before God. because we recognize who he is and who we are. And this reflexively results in accepting our place down before him and acknowledging his greatness, his holiness, his purity. Why worship? Verse 7, for he is our God. Now, we had the same question and a different answer before, right? Verse 3, worship for the Lord is a great God. Here, let's worship for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We worship because he is a great God. We worship because he's our maker. But this is more. This great God is our God. There's a personal connection between me and this great God. There's a sense of ownership or belonging, but not that we own God. You don't own a God, but he owns us, and he is our God. God doesn't belong to me. I belong to God, our God, his commitment to us. I will be your God, and you will be my people. The fundamental covenant promise. It's not about my attachment to him, my seeking him, my need of him. It's about God's attachment to us. Worship, for he is our God, and he cares for us. We're the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. He provides for us. He leads us in all of our paths. In every desert, he feeds us. So we worship him. His hand is upon us, the sheep of his hand. Not only ownership, not only control, but under his protection and care. So we worship our God. And that's why vibrant worship is one of our core principles. Our singing is not a prelude to the main matter. We come to worship. So we worship together. We sing. We sing to God. We sing loudly and joyfully. And we worship because he is our God. And if you're here and Jesus is not your own, don't you want to be a part of this? Don't you want to have something to sing about no matter what your circumstances are? Don't you want to have a community to sing with rather than living alone on your island? And don't you want to have God as your God? Have access to God at any time through the Savior, Jesus Christ. He would have you if you but come to him. Let's pray. Father, now we thank you for your love, for your promises, for your grace, for your mercy, for your word, for your son, for forgiveness of sins. You give us every reason to sing, every reason to worship. We want to do that. Amen.